As you're, if you have been coming to this house for any length of time, you know that we don't talk too much about being members of this official members of this church. We're a government entity, you know. We have a Florida corporation, and so with that, we have to maintain certain rules and regulations to be legal, so that we can have tax exemption and other things as being a legal corporation. So officially joining the part of the church in the aspect of a corporation doesn't sound very spiritual. However, when you do commit,
yes,
you know, you are committing unto a work that is ordained by God. And so you don't take that lightly. I appreciate those of you that have taken some time to check us out, finding out what we're all about, whether we're a cult or not. You know, that's very important. And so, you know, once you find out that we are genuine and that we're sincere for the Lord and we do the best that we can do, if you think this is the place that you need to be at the time, then that's a good thing to do, become a member. And not only do you enhance the corporation in the state, but you learn to make commitments unto the Lord and let him guide you and lead you. With that being said, Tom and Rebecca have joined this congregation officially. Would you come? So have the children, but they're not here today, so we'll just deal with Daddy and Mama first. So, you want to say something, honey?
Yes. When I was praying, I heard the Lord say that these are my ambassadors. All right, the Bible calls us being ambassador for Christ. You've been ambassador for Christ for a long time. That means that you point to the Lord all the time. People watch you, people know you, people see you. But in that grade, that's, I can't see a better compliment than that, than calling us the ambassadors of Christ. That we represent, you don't represent yourself, but you represent that which you honor and you believe and you worship, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you. We thank you for that.
As I was thinking about you guys yesterday, the Lord impressed upon me the fact that God has imparted a lot in you. And you have been sort of quiet and in the background. And so I've got some bad news for you. Retirement is not an option at this point. I think, the Lord equips those who he calls, he equips. And you have, it seems like you are in the background preparing yourself, doing things, but let somebody else get the glory. But God said the things that he wants to do through you is not over. Amen. So there's a scripture said the latter end will be greater than the former. Amen. And so even though it still may not be glorious, he's still got to work for both of you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And I don't know what that is. He didn't say so. In other words, don't hang the hat and say, I've done my part. Now I can enjoy retirement. So know that the Lord still got great plans for you. So, all right. Well, these are official members now of Life Ministries Church. So we're going to pray for them and bless them. Father, we thank you for Tom and Rebecca and their family. And Father, we thank you that they have committed to become official part of this ministry, as they have faithfully come and supported and looked at us and seen our love for you and our love for our brothers and sisters. And Father, they want to be part of that. Lord, I pray you strengthen them. You connect them in the right places. You use them for your glory and honor. Father, may they continue to experience your love your care, your provision, your protection. Father, may the gifts and talents that you have placed upon them would come forth and do what you want to do through them, that you may be glorified and people may be edified.
Yes.
Father, strengthen them. Touch their bodies, renew their strength. And Father, we affirm their commitment to you by working through them. Signs, wonders, good deeds, works of righteousness. And Father, we bless them and we thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm a little below the weather, not just under the weather, so bear with me. I know today is kind of a different day. You know, you woke up. Well, I don't know if you did, but we did. We thought it was still 8 o'clock, and it was 7. So we didn't know what to do with our time. So I've had a few things in my mind, and I didn't know whether to share or not. And maybe I'll hold on that. A few weeks ago, we haven't forgotten anything else that we needed to announce. I'm just like, there's something. A few weeks ago, huh? Yes, that's what it was. Thank you. Last Sunday, it was awesome. You truly honored us. I know that there was a lot of effort put into what you did, and it was very meaningful to us. We felt your love, your care, your honor, your respect. I'm so glad for you guys. We are so glad. We thank you for all the gifts and all the little details that went about making last Sunday a great celebration. And I know, you know, sometimes through wanting to do stuff like that, you knock heads with one another, but, you know, that happens with siblings all the time. You know, you fight, but you love one another, so that's part of what being a family is all about. And the important thing is, you know, we duke it out and we stay together as a family, so we really appreciate you. A few weeks ago, the Lord impressed upon my heart to teach about endurance. As you well know, we're going through some radical changes in our nation's society. But it's not just our nation. I mean, it's worldwide, all around the world. One area that the Lord instructed us in his word. Sorry, get this thing ready. There's a prophecy given through the Holy by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy. And you've heard me talk about this before. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, that is now, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." You know, in this house, we do a lot of teaching. We like to teach, we like to instruct, and we like to stay on the principles of the Bible as much as we can, because after all, we're representing the Lord, and it is his word, not ours. And so, you know, the more we stay focused on the Word of God and His Spirit and His leading, the less deceived we're going to be. But God has already said through the Holy Spirit in this scripture, some will depart. Well, I don't want to be one of those that depart. And in order for that to happen, I don't need to listen so much to people. I need to know the Word. And that's why we emphasize so much the integrity of the Word in this house. You're not listening to my opinion. Well, sometimes I give it, but you don't care for it. But I try to always stay true to the Word. And if I'm stating my opinion, I tell you it's my opinion. And you can do with it whatever you choose to do. But, you know, even with truth, some will depart. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And yet, when he preached, there were a lot of people that just didn't care for him. It wasn't according to their agenda, their belief, and they decided to go with the lies rather than stay with the truth. We are approaching the end of this dispensation of grace. We see the signs everywhere. And spiritually speaking, things are going to get more and more difficult for us to endure staying in the faith. Unless you have a solid foundation in the Lord and in His Word. If you have not secure your foundation, you know, we're building a little addition to Johnny's house. We're making the laundry, and I wanted to work on it so bad, but the foundation needed to be done properly. And so because of the construction and all of that, the concrete wasn't ready, and I just wanted to mix it myself, you know, and do it by hand. Thank God I didn't. Even with the truck coming and pouring, it was a lot of hard work. But you see, I couldn't do anything else on the building until that foundation was established. Because I could do the top part and then the bottom wouldn't fit. That's not the way you build. Character has to be built. Endurance has to be rooted in you so that whenever the hard times come, you are able to stand and stand firm. Persecution against truth and righteousness is seen constantly in politics, entertainment, and in fact, even many of you who have to make righteous choices at school and in the workplace, you feel the pressure. People want you to give up what you believe in, especially if it's right and true. And it is no longer just a spiritual atmosphere. I mean, you get to a place and you feel this animosity, even though outside may be fairly nice. But now it is a daily occurrence in today's society. This hesitancy against the truth and against what's right, it is not just felt, it is demonstrated now by a lot of people. This is one of the reasons why the Lord tells us, especially at this latter end, that we need endurance. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse 35, the scripture says, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward." Don't give up. "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." So it's not just nice to have endurance. It is required for us to stay strong. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. In other words, you say that you serve the Lord, but if you're always, you know, teeter-tottering back and forth, that's not pleasing the Lord. And he ends up that part saying, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. In other words, the author of Hebrews says, there are many that are going to give up, but we are not that type. We don't give up. We stay steadfast no matter what. We stay firm. So the scripture says clearly, we need endurance. It is not something nice to have. It's something essential to have. It will determine whether you stand unmovable or whether you will give in to the ways of the masses. I am going to teach on endurance in detail next week. Today I'm going to start with a preview. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Tribulation and persecution for the Lord's sake, it's a given. If you want to do what is right and truthful, and you want to follow the Lord, you will. It's not that you may. You will be persecuted one way or the other. Anyone who chooses to do right and true will be persecuted in some way. So, we need to get ready today if we're not there yet. Today, though, I would like to talk about an example of a life of endurance. Of course, we know that Jesus endured things like no other human. I mean, he endured the greatest. And we understand that. But some of us have a problem or a difficulty relating to the example of Jesus in that aspect of endurance, because after all, he's the Son of God. He's God made flesh. So how can I compare to God? But Jesus would understand that, and he gave us another example. We are going to take a look at the life of the Apostle Paul today very briefly. I know you slept more than you needed to today. I know you had a greater breakfast than normal because you hang around 1 hour more than you needed to at home. So you had the time to prepare good pancakes. After Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, you know, the light shone. He was blind for a couple of days. He had to be taken to Damascus. Then Jesus appeared to Ananias, a servant of the Lord. Nothing special about him. He just loved the Lord. Jesus appeared to him and told him, I want you to do something for me. I want you to go to this guy named Saul of Tarsus. Ananias didn't like it. So Ananias decided to inform Jesus who Saul of Tarsus was. Don't we do that? Don't we want to inform the Lord about our circumstances and try to convince him to do different from what he wants us to do? Well, Jesus didn't buy it. So in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, in spite of what Ananias said and felt, Jesus said, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. What a prophetic word. It surely came to pass. We started teaching on the book of Acts a few Wednesdays ago. And if you know me, you know that we will try to go through every chapter and every verse of the book. So if you want to study, you know, methodical study of this book, then you can join us on Wednesday night. We'll do the best we can. So on Wednesday nights, we're going to look at very extensive detail of the life of Apostle Paul as presented by Dr. Luke in the book of Acts. But today I will just mention a brief summary of Paul's sufferings just recorded in the book of Acts here for a minute. Just as soon as he got saved, his life was threatened in Damascus. He went to Jerusalem, his life was threatened there. He was persecuted and run out of Antioch in Pisidia. In Iconium, he faced potential stoning. In Lystra, he was stoned and left for dead. He opposed and made the center of controversy in a lot of different places. He experienced the loss of his close friend and co-worker Barnabas. You remember that him and Barnabas were missionary partners. And then John Mark got a little headstrong. And Barnabas and Paul disagreed on the fact of John Mark going with them. And they broke up ministries. They went different ways. Barnabas left. Barnabas was a close friend and co-worker. And you know, it's hard when you have, you know, break friendship like that, especially ministry. It is a tough thing, and Paul had to go with somebody else. Paul was beaten with rods and imprisoned at Philippi. After being beaten in Philippi, he was cast out. His life was threatened in Thessalonica. He was kicked out of Berea. In Athens, he was mocked. He was taken before the judgment seat in Corinth. He was opposed by the silversmith at Ephesus. He was plotted against by the Jews in Greece. He went back to Jerusalem and he was apprehended by the mob. Then he was arrested and detained by the Romans. He barely escaped being scourged at that time. And then he was rescued because the Sanhedrin wanted to kill him. He barely got out of that one. There were assassination plots against him several times. He was in prison in Caesarea 2 years. He was shipwrecked on the Isle of Melita or Malta. There he got a snake bite. And then the last thing recorded in Act is the first Roman imprisonment. So you think of that. And that was not just Paul's doing. He was led of the Lord to do all this kind of work. And everywhere he went, he got beaten, he got persecuted, stoned, beaten, afflicted. Paul himself wrote a list of circumstances he went through in 2 Corinthians 11. Starting with verse 23, because he wasn't one of the 12, a lot of people say, yeah, you're not an apostle. And so he writes in his defense. And he starts talking there. Are they ministers of Christ? Talking about the apostles, the 12. I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I've been in the deep. And I thought about that one. What is the deep? Probably in the ocean, floating on boards after a shipwreck. 24 hours floating in there, not knowing if he was going to make it or not. In journeys, persecution was often. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers. You know, there was robbers all over the place. In between cities. And there was danger of them killing you and taking everything you had. In perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea. He was always traveling on boat from one place to another, evangelizing. In perils among false brethren, people that would get close to him, usually sent by the Pharisees and Jews. They want somebody to spy on him so that he can be ratted out, basically. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Verse 28, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. That's a long list. And none of us have even achieved a quarter of that, if any of that. And this is not because he was a fool. He was directed by the Spirit of God to do evangelization and ministry. And yet, he suffered very, very much. If he had not developed some endurance, he would have been dead or quit the ministry very quickly. Now, an interesting fact. This is 2 Corinthians. This was the 4th book the Apostle Paul wrote. It was written from Macedonia in the fall of AD 57. during his third missionary journey. Now, it is estimated that Paul's conversion happened in A.D. 36 and his death around A.D. 68. So he had a 32-year ministry. We just celebrated our 30. So the list in 2 Corinthians would not include the last 11 years of his ministry. And he went through all of that. So, what's missing? The fourth and final year of the third missionary journey? Acts doesn't talk about Paul's arrest and threat and treatment in Jerusalem. The 2 years of imprisonment that he spent in Jerusalem. The perilous journey from Caesarea to Rome that include another shipwreck. Paul's first Roman imprisonment in Caesarea. Paul's house arrest imprisonment in Rome. The 3 to 4 year period between his first and second Roman imprisonment. And then his last second Roman imprisonment, which resulted in his execution. None of that is written in 2 Corinthians. You think about the Apostle Paul, and you see a man who suffered. And he had to develop endurance. The Lord called him, and those who the Lord calls, he makes sure they're properly equipped. Well, he was equipped. But this is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. What a perspective. We are perplexed, but not in despair. You know, things catch us by surprise, but we don't go wild like a chicken with a head cut off. We just endure. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. You know, 5 times he got whipped with 39 lashes. That's a lot of whipping. And boy, you know, he said he was 5 times whipped with 39 lashes. That means they were Jews. Jews were not supposed to whip somebody more than 40 times, according to the old law. But Gentiles didn't care about the 39 or 40. They would whip them until they were tired of it. And I think he got beaten 3 times by non-Jews. So they probably went over 40. So many people did not survive those kind of whipping. They would strip them of clothing to the waist. They had a pillar, and they would have them bent and tied down, and then they whipped their backs. You know, if you can withstand that and still preach the gospel, that's a commendable place to be. And here we are. Paul saying, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. You see, that's a perfect perspective that we need to develop. And for that, we need to endure. There are things coming our way that we would never think that they would show up for people to persecute us the way that they will. It is starting. People are, you know, you stay with what's true and what's right, and people will criticize you for it, will persecute you for it, and it's happening. But this is not going to get any easier. It's going to get stronger, and so we need to develop some endurance. And here we're thinking about how late this sermon has gone and how hungry we are. And then you dare ask me to attend the baptism after the service. We're going to have a baptism after service. So I pray that all of you will be able to join us. We need to grow up so much. Some of us don't even know what hard times are. Some people think that when you split a nail and it gets a little bit under the flesh, that is the hardest thing to endure. You better develop some stamina, some endurance. And I tell you, we need endurance, and we don't have it of our own. We cannot get it on our own. We need to get it from the Lord Jesus and our commitment to serve Him no matter what. And you see, you cannot be in the middle of affliction to then say, okay, I'm going to ride this out. No, you have to determine that before the affliction and persecution comes. If Paul, who suffered the most for the cause of Christ, enjoyed the greatest triumph, then we who suffer the least should be able to suffer well in the Lord and celebrate our victory in the Lord as well. We'll find out more about endurance next week, so I pray you come. Don't give up. That frog didn't give up. When everything, it seemed to have been too late, it was trusting in God and acting upon. A lot of us just cow down under pressure. God wants people with endurance. Father, we thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you for the way you show up in our midst. Lord, we need your endurance. Thank you for giving us Paul as an example of one who persecuted you at first, who blasphemed and killed and stoned and imprisoned your followers. But then you change his life radically. And Lord, I thank you that you put the words in the Bible so that we could know what he went through and how he stood and what his perspective was. And Lord, he said at one point, follow me as I follow Christ. Thank you, Lord, for giving us heroes of the faith that we're able to emulate. And may we become one of those heroes for somebody else after us, if you dare. Lord, bless us as we go into this baptism service. And I pray, Father, that we would continue to grow in endurance, Father, as you teach us your ways. I bless you people, and I thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. We're going to shortly go to Belmont and have a baptism.